Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Adjacent. You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
I enjoy an occasional road trip because, like, when I was younger, like you, like my family, there's only four of us and we used to go on road trips all the time. So we drive all over the country. And it's like you get build really cool memories from that. But at the same time, at this point in my life, I'm just trying to jump on the flight 2 hours, be where I want to be, you know, like those 18, 19 hour drives.
Yeah.
Stop, man. Every pilot and QT across the country. Yeah. Like, it's fun. And like, those are enjoyable memories, but it's just like, bro, as an adult, like as a kid, you're like, oh, this is fun. Like, road trip. As an adult, you're like, all right, bro, get me on this flight.
I don't know that I even thought it was that fun as a kid. I wasn't planning on starting the show this way, but let's do it. I have a couple questions for you about what you just brought up. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure with my co-host, Russ Dorsey.
You.
And we have our buddy, our expert, the self-proclaimed star of the show, Tony Gill, producing for us today like he always is.
AKA the Patrick Beverly of our podcast.
Yep. You don't always like him,
but you're pushing us in the back every turn.
You don't always like him, but you do always need him. Sports Adjacent is brought to you by Obvious Shirts. Very glad to be doing things with them. Not just, I don't know, it feels like more than just friends at this point, Russ. They've sponsored our show. Appreciate that. You can use our promo code adjacent10 to get 10% off and free shipping and their website. But also where I feel like this went to the next level is they've got our shirts now. They've got five shirts in our collection, but 10, if you count the fact that you can get each one in gray or blue, whichever you prefer. So, things are going very well for them and things are going very well for us with them.
The Obvious Shirts store opening in Wrigleyville later this month, which is awesome. Like, congrats to Joe. Like, that's a really big deal.
Where would you go on these nine? You said 18, 19 hours that practically puts you in Colorado or Florida, depending on what direction you went.
It was easier when my brother and I were at the same like school. So my brother Joe is, it goes between 3 and 4 years older than me. And so like when he was in seventh grade and I was in third grade, or I was in second grade and he was in like fifth or sixth grade.
Yeah.
Like that, it would work easier than when he was in college or I was in college or whatever. And like everybody was doing their own things. And then once I got into sports heavy, that kind of changed stuff too and work around that. But
if you're playing baseball, that wipes out the summers.
Right. And so then we would have to find a week, whether it's a spring break or a week in the summer where there were no tournaments and stuff, no games. But we would drive everywhere, dude. Like, we would drive down to Texas, Florida, the East Coast. We'd drive through Colorado, New Mexico. Like, we'd go everywhere. So, like, there's so many places I've been in my life before 27 that most people haven't gotten to yet, because you go on these road trips with the fam and, like, hit all these different states and see all these different things. So, it was really cool. Like, and then we would go... Like, we're a big restaurant family, so like trying different restaurants is something that like we enjoy. And so like doing that too.
It's weird to me to hear you describe the driving part of that as something you enjoyed as a kid, because maybe because you were doing that at a different time. Because I'll let you know right now, that was a different ballgame in the 90s than the 2000s.
I wouldn't say the driving part. I just say the trip in general. Like, Tony feels the same. Like, I enjoy being with my family. And so like that, those are really, and I don't get to do it a lot now. So I think part of it is because of like work and stuff. So I think I cherish those moments a lot more when all four of us were together all the time. Whereas now, like, I'm on the go and I get to, I see like Chris Bryant more than I see my mom. That makes sense, you know what I'm saying? So the drives weren't fun because it's like, dang, you got to hold it. And it's like, I got to go to the bathroom and there's no bathroom around. Then as a kid, you run into that, I don't want to go into this bathroom that I've never been. There's a weird dude in here. And
right. There's poop on the floor.
Right. Poop on the floor.
Always a possibility. Always a possibility.
Or like you're in these random places that have the most beautiful bathroom in the, like, I remember us driving through Texas and it's like 115 degrees. Yep. And we're driving through Amarillo, Texas. And all of a sudden there's this like in one of the, it's not a mountain in Texas, but it's built into like a cliff, like a welcome center. Like you learn on those trips, welcome centers are like great.
Okay.
And so you walk in and it's like the nicest bathroom I've ever seen in the middle of Amarillo, Texas. And like you walk in and you're like, oh man, like where are we? And you're like, I've never been to Amarillo. Like it was my first time in Amarillo, Texas before. But like different stuff like that, like just seeing cool things. Road tripping was cool, but I think those days are past for me because I'm the first one to jump on a flight now.
I hated road trips.
What, Tony?
I hated road trips as a kid.
To where?
To anywhere. I hated long drives.
But give us an example of where you're driving to.
Like, I hated long drives to anywhere, like hours. If it was like 2 hours, I was out. Like, because I always threw up in the car. I would always get
car sick. Okay.
Always get car sick. And the more I think about it, maybe I was just dehydrated and my parents didn't give me enough water.
Yeah, they kind of see you from going to the bathroom. They're like, no, don't give him no Gatorade. Don't give him no juice. Because parents get stingy with the juice. Like, you get one little bottle of juice. All right, that's it. Yeah. You have enough.
I have a friend when we were kids, my friend Josh would get car sick in the car all the time. I mean, it would happen driving 15, 20 minutes. And he'd be driving with us into a Sox game or something like that. And you know how the traffic can get down there and it's hot and it's stop and go. And there's one time he's sitting in the back seat, just eating nerds like how Tony does during our show, just shoveling them down his throat. And all of a sudden he puts his hand up to shovel some in and then keeps his hand there.
Oh God.
Because it's about to happen. And so, I mean, we're probably at this point right in that neighborhood where the ballpark is. And he's got to get out and throw up in the street.
Like somebody's lawn.
Oh no, that happened too with Josh. Cause we went out to California, and if you've ever driven up and down the Pacific coast, it's all curves and hills. It's all up and down, left and right. And we'd gone through like the Redwood Forest or something majestic and beautiful that everybody should get a chance to see at some point. And we're leaving to go down from there to LA, and we got to pull over, and he just throws up at the bottom at the foot of these people's driveway.
I think your buddy had a condition, dude.
I don't know. His sister had it too. She was a couple years younger. And it was one time where I forget which one of them it was, but they were feeling sick and they were in the front seat of my dad's car. And we were just coming back from like the grocery store or something, not somewhere far away, man. And whichever one of them it was, my dad parks the car. They open the door and then turn their head back in and throw up in the floor of the car instead of out in the parking lot or the driveway.
Bro.
I used to get very frustrated with my dad because we would go on these great road trips and I loved the places we went, but I hated every part of the accommodations. We'll say I didn't like driving because my brother and I would fight the whole time. This is way before we had iPads and things like that. Like I just took my kids on trip. They're sitting there with all these pre-downloaded movies from Netflix and Disney Plus stuff they can watch in the backseat. We didn't have anything like that. We just had to read a book or something. And my dad would always say, or just talk to each other or sit there and think your thoughts. And then I realized as an adult that bare minimum to take your family on a plane is like $1,000. That's if you get pretty good flight. I have no idea what flights cost now because they've been all over the map the last 2 years. But in general, you can count on it being about $1,000 to set just to get your family on a plane with plane tickets. And then my dad also, I would not have chosen the same hotels my dad chose, let's just say. My dad chose some hotels that were affordable.
The by the hour hotels.
Not by the hour, but dude, literally, one of them was called the Vagabond Inn. I'm telling you, somebody was murdered in that pool last week. And it doesn't matter what week you're listening to this show, that's probably still true. It was called the Vagabond Inn. And there's another sponsor we won't have, Russ, if that's still
I think we're okay there.
But then again, just like with the flights versus road trip, I had this epiphany as an adult. I was like, you know what? My dad didn't have a job where he traveled all the time for work and had this giant bank full of points to, you know, stay at five-star hotels anytime we went on the road. But where we would go that was fun was my dad would take us on baseball trips.
Yeah.
So I had gone to most of the parks in the league probably by the time I left the house. By the time I was 18 or 20, had been to most of them, and it was really fun going to all those places. The California trip I was telling you about, we flew out to either San Fran or San Diego and then rented a car and drove. I think we flew into San Fran and rented a car and drove down through all five California baseball parks, which was really cool. But we travel differently now. And my kids were probably a little bit thrown off going on the road trip too, because my kids, I don't think my kids are spoiled. I mean, you guys would know. You guys have been around my kids a lot. You could probably judge that more objectively than I could. But my kids will ask something like, hey, Dad, are we getting upgraded to Delta Comfort on this flight? Yeah. Or, hey, Dad, do we have hospitality lounge access at this hotel?
Hey, where's the concierge, Dad? I need to make sure we know where all the restaurants in the city are.
Right. Answer honestly. You've spent a ton of time around my kids. Do you think my kids are spoiled?
I don't think they
seem like kind of entitled.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that at all.
You can tell me. I can take it.
No, I'm being honest. I don't think there's anything wrong with giving your kids a better experience than you had. Right. I don't want your kids staying at the Vagabond where somebody was murdered last week. I don't want your kids staying at a motel where they got the vibrating bed where you put the quarters in.
Like, okay. I don't want to slander my dad too badly on this because it wasn't that bad.
Well, I'm just saying.
But it was common for it to be like, I don't want to say names of hotels either because I don't want to get in trouble, but it was common for them to be maybe under an overpass or be named things like the Vagabond Inn.
There's nothing wrong with having your kids stay at the Hilton as opposed to other places. There's nothing wrong with that.
What my kids don't know is that all those really nice hotels they've stayed at, all the points from that come from all the times I've stayed at the airport Hampton Inn in Detroit or something like that and just racked up points that way. And then, you know, they use them to stay at really nice hotels. Anyway, you're not on a road trip right now, but you are on vacation, as I understand it.
I am on vacation. I am on vacation through the All-Star break.
So. In the middle of the season, you're off for like 2 weeks.
Well, it's not.
Are you on paternity leave or what is this?
Funny guy. I'm just on regular vacation. I'm taking a couple days off. And then the All-Star break is next week. So I'm not going out to Denver. So I just got some time off. Where, like, you know, in a 162 game season, like if I don't take today off or if I don't take that time off, like I never will this season.
Yeah.
So, no, we work at a cool place where like I can talk to our boss and be like, hey, can we make this happen? And he's like, yeah, that's totally cool. And we worked it out that way. So, yeah, man, I just taking some much needed time off.
That's your situation at the Sun Times at Sports Adjacent LLC. You are not given any vacation time.
Right. I didn't want to come in here today because I'm just like, if I'm on vacation, like, what are we doing? But no, yeah, Sports Adjacent LLC, we haven't thrown PTO into our plan.
No. No, but I do. And it must be tough for you because I'm guessing this is the first time you've put on a shirt. It's technically a shirt. More than a shirt athletic than you normally wear, but I would assume if you are off for 14 days, I'm going to guess 10 of them don't involve a shirt.
That's about right. I got shorts on, Tony.
That's Tony's favorite
thing. I like him. He doesn't have pants on right now.
Right. And Tony's not on vacation. That's just kind of how he lives his life. The pandemic has been very good to Tony in that way.
I just hope Tony remembers to put pants on before he leaves the house. Like, I don't want him to catch a charge out here. Free balling out in the Burbank streets.
So, you know, it's an interesting topic about.
I don't like where this is going.
No, Russ, you know what's fun about going pantsless in your neighborhood? About
free balling outside.
Here we go. Here we go.
Go ahead, Tony.
Just the thought of, right, men going shirtless all the time, right?
You mean like Russ?
Yeah, I mean, like, how come women aren't afforded that same opportunity? Like, not saying that they have to, but if they want to, like on a beach or something, like, why are we shaming women for their bodies when men can just roam around with their shirts off?
Can I answer a question before I get out of this whole thing? Every time I've seen you guys, like, I've had a shirt on. Like, even recording this podcast, like, I have never come in here shirtless.
That's true.
Like,
that's true.
Some form of clothing on me.
That's true.
Second thing, I used to be fat, dude. Like, I'm gonna show off this progress one way or another. Like, if you can go from 315 down to what am I right now? Like 215. I'm not gonna have clothes on. I'm sorry. Like, y'all are gonna have this on.
You've earned it.
But to answer Tony's question, I don't know, and that's my last thing I'm gonna say on that topic.
Russ, you have so much going on right now in the world of sports between the NBA finals, baseball season, NFL coming up, and it's not usually the case that a media story dominates all of that. But that is what has happened. This is the story from the past weekend, and now it well into this week, is Rachel Nichols at ESPN basically having sour grapes over losing a promotion to Maria Taylor and then being caught on video or recording or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what got circulated, whether it was the video, the audio, or both, saying that it was
audio
chosen, that Maria Taylor was chosen by ESPN purely for diversity's sake, purely to help atone for their terrible track record on diversity within the company, rather than for the fact that Maria Taylor might have earned that promotion, which is really, to me, the biggest problem in this whole story.
Right.
Is it's not that Rachel Nichols is upset, because we all get upset when we don't get the thing that we want. And we all have maybe jealousy or friction or whatever with a coworker who gets something that we thought we should have gotten and we thought we earned over them. The problem is assuming that the reason is something superfluous and something that has nothing to do with Maria Taylor's talent.
I think you're absolutely correct. I think one of the things that, you know, listening to the audio clip when it came out, and New York Times did a great, like, fantastic expose on this whole thing on Sunday. Really, that was the talk of all things sports the last couple of days. But, like, listening to it and hearing her say, look, you know, Maria Taylor's great. She does all this different stuff.
Yeah. I hope she gets everything she wants.
But don't do it in my thing. Don't do it here. Like, don't take away my thing to promote her. I think there's a way to voice your frustration with that without doing it the way she did, right? She made it seem like, oh, well, she's black and you have a terrible record with diversity, so you want to get ahead of it and promote her, when in actuality, Maria might be one of the most talented people at ESPN, right? That's just a fact. Second of all, you could say, like, I think so, especially in our business, the idea that you can't make yourself feel good but also promote somebody else, like, you have to tear down somebody to make yourself feel, I think that's one of the other problems here, right? Where she feels like me and Maria cannot both succeed in this space, right? It was like, no, she has to go somewhere else. I'm basketball person. I know LeBron and Chris Paul, and those guys are my friends. Like, that's how it came off. And I think, like, if you
want the idea that it's a zero sum game.
Right. Right. And I think you could say, look, I feel like we've done a good job building our NBA brand with me as the host. I want Maria to be on board too, if that's what you guys want to do, but let's just figure out another way without having to take me. I think if that was a conversation, that's different, but she made it about, no, she can't be here. and then threw herself in, well, I'm a woman and I know about diversity too. And when it's like, nah, fam, no, don't do that. Because I think a lot of times that gets thrown into the mix of diversity. And that's not when we're talking about true diversity. I don't think that's what it is. And it's really just, I was talking to a friend who used to work at ESPN, by the way, about this on Sunday. And I said, they weren't really friends. Like, they weren't cool. They were just coworkers, because in a situation where you have somebody, a friend, where something like this would come up, where it's like, you and I have been friends, and like, let's say the Sun-Times wants to put me on Bears coverage.
Yeah.
And are playing a movie somewhere else. Because you're my man, I would call you first, because you're my friend, and be like, hey, this is what they're talking about, right? Before it ever got to a point where you're talking about, man, F Russ, this is my thing, and like, he wasn't here doing this, and you're only putting him on this because he's black, X, Y, Z. That's what I would do in that situation with a friend, somebody I knew and cared about.
Right.
Even Tony, like, when Tony and I were talking about his organization, when I was thinking about going over there, I hit Tony and was like, hey, what do you like about this place? Right. What do you think about the people over there? Cause that's my man's, and I knew he was going to give me the real about it. I don't see that in this situation at all. Like, I don't think there was any of that. They were just two people that worked together.
I think it's okay. I think it's even okay for them not to like each other. That's all fine. She doesn't have to be friends with every person she works with, but you have to have respect for what other people do and bring to the table. And it where it crosses a huge line is to accuse someone else of only getting as far as they got because of a diversity hire, which is obviously code.
Go ahead, Tony.
Now, I was about to say, Russ got called out for that when he read an email that he got.
Right.
Oh, Russ gets that every day, probably.
Yeah. I mean, right.
But not from Cole.
Oh, yeah, literally. Right. Somebody literally called me an affirmative action hire like last week.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think this dives into like the nuances of racism and like the stuff that, like, people always think racism is just saying the N-word. Like, no, there's right. there's some racist adjacent things that you can do as a person that will negatively affect progression and your allyship. Like, all this stuff that went on, it seemed like Rachel was on board until you get a behind the scenes look at what she actually thinks about that Black Lives Matter and the Me Too movement is all tiring. You know, like it's like some type of like deed that requires, you know, a hefty price of your life. Like, no, it's just do the right thing and right. say the right thing and respect everybody. And in an honest moment, Rachel and LeBron's PR guy, like, he's not getting away with it either. They right. come for him too.
We just don't know. We just don't remember his name offhand because right. he doesn't have a TV show. But yeah,
he doesn't host The Jump on ESPN
right.
2-3 o'clock every day.
Right. And it really just shows, again, like I said, the nuances of, yes, she works with a lot of Black men on The Jump and she rotates a lot of Black men on her show. But when a Black woman is coming up, no, that's me first. I'm me first. White woman, me first. Yeah. Then we can get some Black women, you know, in these spots. And that's what it felt like as she was saying that. And there's a lot of undercover people like that. Bill Burr did a monologue on SNL on it, where he was like, you know, women are all for, you know, equality, and white women are all for equality,
right?
Until it's Black women that wants to, you know, come up as yeah. well. They're like, no, right. us first.
And I think that was when I'm talking about her saying, as a woman, I know about diversity. She's like, no, as a white woman, you don't know about the diversity that other women of color are striving for. Like, you don't have any idea what that's like to even make it as far as Maria Taylor has in this business and then still try to get to another level. You don't know about that.
Bro, Black women got it the worst in sports media
because yeah.
they're Black and they're women. They have it the absolute worst.
And I think, you know, now this didn't just happen. Like, it just came out in the public eye on Sunday.
It's been a year plus.
It's been a year.
Yeah.
Right. And they kept this thing going for a year with them being at odds. And I think to spin this forward, I think one of the things that I have a bigger problem with, last week there was a story that came out about Maria Taylor and her contract negotiation over at ESPN, where it was leaked that apparently she wanted Stephen A. Smith money.
She wanted $8 million a year.
And upon reading that, you're just like, no, she did not. Like, that's not, come on now, stop. Like, you can't. And then you knew they knew this story was coming. You knew, like, they're trying to get ahead of it somehow. And so many times in situations like this, it's just like, Maria's just the angry black woman, right? The angry black woman, don't want to work with nobody, diva, XYZ, all the things that they labels that they give black women. No. And I think many of the people who worked with Maria on NBA Countdown, NBA Pre and Post, shout out to Jalen Rose being a stand-up dude on one of the playoff games last week where she said Reggie Jackson, somebody's going to give him the bag this summer. And Jalen Rose goes, yeah, Maria's the most talented person at ESPN. They need to give her the bag too. all she could do was laugh. But those guys, they were going to like stop working if they took Maria off the air, right? I think the whole thing is nasty. And Maria's contract is up in at the end of July. And people are like, oh, Maria needs to leave. Like, she should go. And for me, I feel like it's like, I don't want Maria to get forced out because of a situation where somebody was talking mess about her, right? Where the culture was toxic towards her.
Right.
And if she had to leave because of that, I don't think that's fair. Now, if she wanted to leave, which you're like, this is a toxic environment and a toxic culture, and I don't want to be a part of this anymore, that's different. But if it's, no, I want to be here because we've built something really great, but I don't feel like the company will allow me to do that. That's another issue.
And then she was about to be out. It sounded like before this came out. I mean, ESPN has spent a year trying to hide this and sweep this under the rug as Rachel Nichols' popularity has been probably higher than ever over the past 2 years. And there, it sounded pretty much like they were willing to sweep this under the rug. Maria Taylor's contract was going to run out. Rachel Nichols would still be one of the stars there. The only person getting disciplined for any of this is the video technician or whoever who...
A video producer
who leaked this, Kayla Johnson.
And like, because she showed Maria, then she took it to HR, which is what you're supposed to do.
Sounds like by the book protocol to me. I don't know the employee handbook there, but that sounds like the right thing to do.
And then she got suspended for 2 weeks without pay. And demoted, and then had all these unwanted tasks at the network. And it's like, if you're Disney, the parent company of ESPN, you put yourself in a position for a whistleblower lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I did the right thing, I follow protocols, I did exactly what you're supposed to do, and you suspend me for it. Now I'm suing you. And I think this is a situation. I think they are in shambles over there at Disney, trying to figure out the situation, because, you know, when you listen to this, it'll be Thursday or whenever. We're recording on the first day of the NBA finals or tonight. And ESPN announced today that they're taking Rachel Nichols off the coverage. Malika Andrews, shout out to the homie Malika. She's going to be doing sidelines during the finals. So, you know, things are, I don't think this is going away anytime soon.
They hoped it would, but I don't think it will now.
No, they hoped it would, but now that it's public, it's not.
They spent a year.
The next day on the jump. I was like, there was no way she should have been on the jump yesterday.
Well, here's where it's not going to work.
Whack ass apology.
Here's where it's not going to work, no matter how badly ESPN wants it to, is so much of her success has been because of these connections that she has made as a journalist and done very well making those connections. That's not a negative. That's a positive. That's what you're supposed to do in these jobs. And tell me which of those connections is going to survive this, both in the company and outside the company, both the former players that she works with now and the current players that she covers now. They are not going to be on her side in this one, I don't think.
I would have, like, they did the show right after on that Monday. She came out with like a 30-second, apology. But then the most of the time, Richard Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins are the guys that's talking.
Yeah, you know, it was so unfair. Like,
then they just kind of went on with
the
show. And if I'm, you know, I think P.J. Tucker was on, Jrue Holiday, they did the whole car wash of players. If I'm those players, I'm like, I'm not coming on with her. Like, what is she doing? Like, what is she doing? Like, I can't rock with that. Like, until she, you know, she, there needs to be some, you know, reprimand of Rachel Nichols that we're not seeing. Like, it's crazy ESPN is like letting this go as like, it's just a squabble between teammates. Like, no, like, what if there was another up and coming black journalist?
Yeah.
ESPN, is she going to step on them too? Like,
no, it's, you definitely, as a network, they look really bad. And you've heard things over the years about ESPN's culture, whether it's their six to sports policies and, you know, how people over there, your social medias are not necessarily yours and you can't say the things that you think and believe in X, Y, and Z. It doesn't sound like a place where you would want to be a part of. But it's, yo, the four-letter network, they were it's the dream come true if you're over there. But you start to see what it appears to be on the outside is not necessarily what it is on the inside.
And it's also stick to sports unless it becomes profitable for us for you to not stick to sports.
Correct.
That goes to this conversation as well, where it feels this not only undercuts a lot of what Rachel Nichols has said and done over the past year and a half that has looked good on the outside, on the appearance, but that this was allowed at ESPN and this went for a year plus, and that the only person disciplined in this entire scenario was the black video producer, Kayla Johnson, who by my view did exactly what she should have done. That undercuts a lot of ESPN's messaging that they've wanted us to buy into. They've wanted everyone to buy into for the past year and a half.
And like with Rachel, she was always one of the first people. Like Tony talked about, like, Black Lives Matter, different things players were doing, the reasons players were doing this. And it's like, all right, she understands. She gets it. That takes away from all that. Like, all that was just lip service now. And then there's this whole idea of she was a women empowerment, like pushing women ahead in the NBA and in sports. Yep, that's great. That's what we want to see. But what about this with women empowerment? Right? How are you uplifting Maria Taylor in this situation? Right, you're disparaging her and basically doing it twice, because now another black woman, because I don't even think Kayla Johnson's at ESPN anymore, basically was forced out because of this. Hopefully Maria won't get forced out, but that could be also still be on the table, that Maria's no longer there at the end of all this. Like, I don't see how that's women empowerment. And so, like, it's one of those talking out both sides of your mouth types of thing, where like now I'm like, I felt the last 4 years, like, seeing who people are, like, I want to see who people really are. Like, I'm glad we got to see who Rachel Nichols is, right? Because if you felt that way in private, like, what else do you feel this way about? And so it was one of those things, just like, man, like, that sucks, because you thought, like, you thinking about having an ally, having somebody in your corner for a lot of these different things that we as black people go through, black things that black women go through. And it's like, to find out that was fake, you know, it sucks.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yo, it's Russ Dorsey. Look, you've been waiting. I've been waiting. And now it's time. Sports Adjacent merch is now available for pre-order on obviousshirts.com. That's obviousshirts.com. Look, you want some new merch? You want some stuff that says sports adjacent? Maybe Tony Gill versus libraries? Maybe you love Russ Dorsey? We have shirts for you too. Go to obviousshirts.com, make your pre-orders, and you'll have that merch in no time. But don't forget, because we have this great partnership with our friends over at Obvious Shirts, you can use promo code ADJACENT10 to get 10% off your purchase. That's promo code ADJACENT10 to get 10% off your purchase. Obvious Shirts, words on shirts.
I like everything about my setup. Like I love having a family and I love having kids and I love my wife. There are parts about being single that sound kind of good sometimes, like that you know where everything is in your house. And one of the things that comes up is that I bet that you in your life as a single person never have to worry about how bad something that you're eating smells. Because sometimes things that taste good also kind of smell bad. You know what I mean? Like different cheeses or things like that, or onions or garlic. You never have to worry, hey, is anyone bothered by this? Because you live alone. Whereas like I got this stuff that I like and it's, this is going to sound gross, but again, there are things that are kind of gross that actually taste good. But it's this smoked trout. And if you like smoked salmon, you'll probably like this. But in my wife's defense, the package it comes in looks like cat food. So I understand her being grossed out by this. And it does smell pretty bad. I'll give her that. It is kind of like if you use the bathroom right after someone else has used it and you walk in there and you're like, this doesn't smell very good. That's kind of like what it smells like in whatever room you ate this in.
Yeah, and I'm good on that.
But if it was you, you wouldn't have to worry about that. You wouldn't have to worry about someone coming in there into the kitchen 20 minutes later and be like, oh, why does it smell so horrible in here?
I don't usually have that issue. Like I'm a big candles guy.
Okay.
So when you came over here, I didn't have them out because like I'm not trying to press you. but like I have a ton of candles. So yeah. So we don't have a problem with smells.
Anymore. You hid them away, huh?
I did.
Is there anything you eat that you'd say is like, I like this, but I'll admit it's kind of gross.
It's funny because you talked about your daughter talking about this a couple weeks ago, but I'm a hard boiled egg guy. That might be it.
That is gross.
But it's just like, I'm big enough getting my protein in for the day and boiled eggs are really good for that. They're really easy to make. I can store them in the fridge, eat a couple before I go to the gym, different things like that. But that's probably the only thing that's like, oh, this is kind of weird. Nah, man, that's about it.
You have to store those boiled eggs, by the way, in a Tupperware, a sealed, airtight Tupperware.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, every time you open the fridge, it's just like being blasted with a cold fart. What do you eat that's gross, Tony?
Mayonnaise sandwiches.
Well, Tony. All right. So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt here. Mm-hmm. You do this on a consistent basis or you've done this before?
No, every so often. You know what? I would like a mayonnaise sandwich.
Wait, like just...
That's so disgusting. Right, Tony, you have money.
right, Tony, you do got money. All right, I like mayo too. I'm a big mayo guy. Mm-hmm. But so just bread, mm-hmm. Slather some mayo on bread, eat.
Yep. Hood sandwich. Let's go.
Tony, I didn't think there was anybody that liked mayo more than I did, but I think you might have taken the crown. I don't be eating mayo sandwiches.
You can take.
I wouldn't be able to have a conversation with you while you're eating that. I wouldn't be able to sit there across from you and talk to you.
Yeah,
while you're eating that, I'd have to be like, I'm gonna step outside, and you let me know when you finish this, and I'll come back and we'll finish our conversation.
Like I dip my fries in mayo. I think that's really good. I didn't know they did it in Belgium until I was like 15 or 16. I was like, oh, that's cool. I put mayo on hot dogs instead of like other condiments. So that might be weird to other people, but like, yeah, that's probably about it. But a mayo sandwich is definitely super hood, Tony. Man.
Is the bread at least toasted, or is this just like a big soggy pile of bread and mayonnaise? That's disgusting, man.
I'm missing fats out of my diet. Grab some bread, put some mayo or some Miracle Whip or some mayo adjacent in there.
Mayo sandwich bread. Yes, sandwich bread is definitely mayo adjacent.
Yep. Go to town. Yum, yum, yum. Mm-mm. Yummy in my thumb.
Go ahead.
My dad loves sandwich bread because my dad's from the hood too, West Side. And so I'm going to just start saying, Dad, did you get some mayo and Jason from the store today? And he'll know what I mean. Go ahead, Jason. Oh, man. Mayo sandwiches.
Y'all ain't never had a mayo sandwich?
Tony, I've had hood foods before, but mayo sandwiches were not on the list. Like, I've had Vienna sausages, trash. I've had potted meat, trash. What'd you say?
Bam sandwiches?
Yeah, I've had Bam sandwiches. Spam sandwiches.
The bologna?
See, those are good. I can still rock with those these days.
Sugar toast? Let's go, man.
Tony, don't be telling all of family business stuff.
Let's go, man. Put you on some of these hood snacks.
Yeah, do you think Anna and Grace would like a mayo sandwich for lunch tomorrow?
No, that's disgusting. You know what I like that's along those lines for me that is like dirt cheap food that is not actually very good and isn't good for you at all, but I still crave it from time to time is ramen noodles.
I'm good on ramen. That was the one I was just like, y'all can keep that.
Yeah.
My parents never gave us ramen because it's like, they didn't want to give us early onset diabetes.
Oh my God.
So, I don't think you get diabetes from that. I think you get cholesterol and every other problem from that.
Oh,
a lot of sodium in there.
Tons of sodium.
For the blacks, it's like you got
blood pressure.
They'll give you the salt diabetes. And diabetes.
The sugars. Oh my God, this show went somewhere I did not expect it to go today. It's great.
Oh, none of this is part of the show.
Oh, no. We're putting mayo sandwiches in there. What are you talking about?
Can I ask a question? I've never heard it referred to as sandwich bread. Is that just a loaf of sliced white bread? Is that what you're referring to? What is sandwich bread?
No, it's the mayo that comes in the green.
Oh, no, you mean sandwich spread.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying sandwich bread.
No, sandwich.
Bread.
So it's like it's kind of orange.
I've never heard of sandwich spread either. Now that we're talking about it,
I imagine you have not. So sandwich spread is basically it's like mayo. I think it's
like onion.
It's like onion. It's like it looks like Thousand Island dressing.
You're not prepared, if you're hoping for mayo. And you get sandwich bread, it's the worst.
Disappointed. Yeah.
It's the worst. But if you know you're going into it, it's sandwich bread, it's like, all right, okay.
I love my dad. Shout out to my dad. He used to make me and Joe's lunch sometimes as kids, but he wouldn't tell us, yo, we ran out of mayo.
That's the worst.
So bro would put sandwich spread on him, and I bite into the sandwich. I'm like, who in the what is this sandwich spread? And so I'd be like, Dad, what did you put on the sandwiches today? Because I was like, it wasn't mayo. He's like, oh, I had to get sandwich bread because we ran out of mayo. I'm like, you couldn't tell me that before I bit into it thinking some mayo was going to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jason, I don't think they sell sandwich bread in Elgin. First of all, shout out to everybody out there listening to House of L that our podcast has been on for now 4 months, I believe, which is awesome. That's insane. Lawrence made a video on his socials, put it out yesterday, that House of L reached 1 million downloads, which I think is the coolest thing in the world. And we appreciate you guys being a part of that, listening to our podcast, subscribing, downloading, listening, interacting, writing comments, reviews. Continue to do that. Continue to listen. Tell your friends. Give us 5 stars. Subscribe. We appreciate all the support. And I know Lawrence does, too.
It's been a goal of his for a while. Most of those downloads are his, I think. We've chipped in a very small piece of the pie.
No, I wasn't saying we chipped in like, hey, 500,000 of those. I didn't say that.
We put him over the top.
We'll do some downloads in there.
We're with House of L Network on purpose. We're with House of L Network because it fit perfectly with what you and I wanted to do for a show. And that made Lawrence kind of the perfect mentor or executive producer for what we were putting together in the months leading up to this show debuting and in the months since it's been on. So obviously that relationship has been incredible for us. And both of us, all three of us, are really good friends with him personally outside of any of this. And it's really good to see him have success. He's had a lot of success in his career, but I think it's cool to see him have success with something that was really just his from the ground up that he built and has now gone into this role of expanding it with us, with Matty Lee, and with several other projects.
Go House of L to the moon.
Go. Can't stop, won't stop.
Speaking of the future.
Yeah, let's get to this, Jason, because I'm curious to what you want to find out about.
Speaking of the future. That was great. Really good job there, producer. Well, you guys talk about future all the time. And so I wanted to find out about him and just figured, hey, I'll start my search at Wikipedia, where I always do. And I typed in future and got a page about the actual future, like the time yet to come. And that was interesting. A lot of weird stuff on there, but not what I was looking for. So I went to the disambiguation page and there were about 30 different options. Scrolled down, found future parentheses rapper end parentheses. And that was the one I wanted. And so I looked through that and didn't really find a lot on there, except that he seems to have a lot of kids and seems to be wildly successful, like incredible career as a performer, it sounds like. So then I went to Google and typed in, what's up with future? And he apparently has a song called What's Up With That or what something like that. And so that's all that came up. That didn't help. So then I typed in, what's the deal with future? And really all I found out was that he either invented or popularized Purple Drink or Dirty Sprite or Lean, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing, right? Those sounded like synonyms when I was reading them.
Yeah.
You're off the internet. And I feel like neither. I feel like in this search, it has come up empty. I have learned about Future, who is my same age and, you know, similar career trajectory, I would say. But it does not really help me explain why you guys talk about Future in probably one out of every three staff meetings we have.
First of all, that was...
You guys are constantly... Tony's constantly calling you Future. You're constantly being like, shut up, Tony. I'm not Future. You guys are saying things like, hey, don't be like Future. It sounds like you don't want to be Future. But then when I read about Future, he's very successful. So I think my internet search did not lead me to whatever the answer is here. So will you please, Russ, just teach me about Future?
The funniest part about you went through the depths to get, like, I don't know what made you decide to do this.
Because you guys talk about it all the time. And I was like, it would have been embarrassing to be like, what's the joke, guys? But then now this is more embarrassing, it turns out.
Future's a rapper, right?
I got that. Remember, I told you that part.
One of the mothers of his children is Sierra, who's now married to Russell Wilson, right? He had that.
I got that part. Yeah.
We talked about him last week with Scottie Pippen because one of his romantic partners was Larsa Pippen, Scottie's wife, while they were also married. Okay. And also, Future likes the ladies. And in his music, he's rather toxic in his lyrics, particularly about his relationships with women, right? Tony likes to call me Future. I don't think it fits because I have great relationships with women. So now I'm going to put it on Tony. Tony, go ahead.
Yeah, I call you Baseball Future because in your singledom, you love the ladies, man. The ladies love them some Russ. And you make no bones about it, what the situation is. Here's, I think, the honesty aspect of Future and about what he's about, I think, is like what makes Future like a thing in its own self. Like, he knows what he's there for. You know what he's there to do. He's not there to, you know, wife you up. He's not there to, you know, console you in your deepest, darkest times to help you out. Future is there for one reason and one reason only. And if it's not that, what text did he send? If you, like, for example, Jason, Future flew out a young lady, and this young lady thought it was time to get her career in motion. And Future was like, oh, no? Okay. Be good, love. I'll catch you later. Like, just the brutal honesty that he presents women with the situation, have them make the choice if they want to be involved or not. I feel like Russ is a bit nicer than that, but I don't think women are confused by his situation and what he's about to present in this courtship. Or
Russ,
or
your response.
I don't have a response, bro.
All right, good. Let's play What's That Mean?
And now it's time for
What Does That Mean?
With your host, Jason Leisure.
That's the thing.
What are you talking about?
And everybody's favorite contestant, Russ Dorsey.
I don't understand.
Jason.
All right, it's a new game, Russ. You're the contestant this time. I'm flipping it around on you.
Of course you are.
Yeah. Welcome to What's That Mean? 1920s edition. I wanted to do this where we would do slang that I would know, but you might not know. But much to your disappointment, we're not far enough apart in age for that to work. You would still know most of the slang that I grew up with. So I went back 100 years to see if you know what some of these terms mean from the 1920s. Russ, are you ready to play?
I am not, but let's do it.
Sounds like a yes. All right. If someone refers to flappers and jelly beans, they are referring to what?
Flappers and jelly beans.
That's right.
Well, I thought jelly beans were jelly beans.
You're wrong. Give them the X.
What the? All right.
Flappers are women and jelly beans are their boyfriends.
This seems toxic. I don't
know. 0-1, Russ. Next word is zazzled. If someone is zazzled, they are what?
You know what? I don't feel bad, but not getting these because I don't think anybody knows what these are. Tony, just give me the X.
You have to take a guess before I give you
an X. Give him the X. Go ahead. I don't know. Again, Russ, I'll remind you of the nature of the show. We are looking for answers, not explanations and excuses. Zazzled in the 1920s was a way of saying drunk. If you have too many of those martinis, see, you'll be zazzled, see? How about foot juice?
Yo. Yo.
It's not what you think it means.
None of these are
what you think it means.
Foot juice.
These are all from an article I found in The Atlantic, by the way. So these are credible. These are real. And let me just, I should have said this up front. I should have done the disclaimer. If any of these things now mean something horribly offensive, I apologize and I didn't know. Because I tried to look up whether that was the case and this seemed mostly harmless. But
can I take a guess?
We'll find out if I'm right about that.
All right.
Foot juice.
Wine is made with, has in the past, is made with people pressing the grapes with their feet. Is it wine?
The best part of this is Tony doesn't know whether to give you the X or the bell because he doesn't know if these are right. Russ, you got that one.
Let's go.
Foot juice. And thank you for finally, on the third attempt, actually trying to play the game. I appreciate that. That's what we want from all our contestants here on What's That Mean? foot juice refers to cheap wine.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I got three left for you here. All clam.
Right. Clam?
Yes, clam, Russ.
Is it like when you're nervous, when you're like you clammed up?
That's what the word actually means. That's not what slang is, Russ. Slang, if you're not familiar with it, is using words in a different way than what the dictionary says. Clam is a dollar, as in the person who has made the most clams off this show is Tony Gill.
He gave himself the bill.
Your next word is... Actually, I'm sorry. Your next term is banks closed. If somebody comes up to you and says banks closed, they're telling you what, Russ?
Is this appropriate?
Yeah. Well, kind of.
Yeah, see? banks close, but it doesn't have to do it in an actual bank. Does this mean that you will not? Jeez, I don't want to say this. I hope this. If this is bad, bleep it, Tony. Does this mean that you won't be going home with somebody tonight?
It's close enough that I'll give it to you.
Let's go.
It's what an onlooker would say if you and your partner were displaying too much public affection. It would be as if someone walked up to you and said, get a room. Banks closed. Last one for you, Russ. I don't know what your score is at this point or if you have a chance to win. I don't think anybody is really going to win today.
I've got two correct.
All right. Good for you. There were a couple where you didn't really try, and that's frustrating. But we'll try again next week, or we won't. Your last word is applesauce. If you say something and someone responds to it by saying, that's applesauce, see? They're saying what?
It's BS. It's not
real. Yes, he got it.
Let's go.
He got it. It's nonsense. A synonym for that in the 1920s would have been horse feathers. Russ, thanks for playing. You didn't win, but neither did anybody else who listens to this. I was in the car Tuesday morning. We're recording this before game one of the NBA Finals. And my 7-year-old daughter, Anna, said something to me that I thought was very profound. She said, the good thing about your favorite basketball team being so terrible is that you can just choose another team to root for. And while it would probably be a lot more fun if Chicago was involved whatsoever in basketball relevance, I think would be the term, or the playoffs even. It is kind of freeing to just pick and choose who you like and which players. For me, it's more players than teams that I like. But I think as far as teams go, if Giannis is going to play significantly in the finals, Russ, this should be really fun. This should be a very fun, entertaining series.
I think one of the things that I think about with like the Bucks, you saw it in the end of their last game of the Eastern Conference Finals. Their offense actually runs better with Giannis not in it. And so introducing Giannis back into that mix, I wonder how that throws off the dynamic, because they were a well-oiled machine with no Giannis in there and playing just run down the court and try to bully his way into the post. But like when you can spread it out, you got Brooke Lopez refining his The Fountain of Youth and Chris Middleton playing like he's playing and Drew Holiday doing his thing. And then Bobby Porter, shout out to Bob, doing his thing. Like they look like, all right, that team's going to win the finals. But you reintroduce Giannis back into it where the ball stops, and you might have some issues. So, no, I think it should be a fun series. Like I'm excited to have two teams that like one that has never won the finals in the Suns and a team that hasn't won since 1971 in the Bucks. So I think that's awesome for the league.
I think they're fun teams that don't play any defense, so I'll enjoy that part of it. Defense is boring and useless to me. If all these games are in the 140s, I'll love that. Tony, do you like this, or would you have rather just seen straight up down the middle Nets versus Lakers?
I probably have been more invested in Nets versus Lakers. But I mean, that's not really a hard thing to say. I mean, when you got the biggest names in the game playing against each other for the ultimate prize, of course that's something that you want to see, but I think this finals requires a lot of rethinking of how we view basketball kind of going forward and how we consume it, where look, like there's other players that deserves to be watched in other markets that aren't on national television all the time, or that are in commercials all the time, that are providing very entertaining basketball. So I think this finals is going to really show that. And I hope the NBA embraces the parody of it, because it's going back to normal next season, guys. None of this Phoenix, Milwaukee shenanigans next year on the regularly scheduled television.
Russ, I can't decide who I want to win. I don't want to do some kind of stupid like prediction segment where we say Bucks and six or Suns and whatever, but I really like Phoenix's style of play. Mm-hmm. I also really like Giannis and Chris Middleton. And I feel like if they don't do it now, they're never going to get another chance.
I think the cool part about this finals is one way or another, an all-time great is going to get a ring, which I think is the crown jewel that many all-time greats don't get the opportunity to have. And so Chris Paul, who's one of the best point guards in the history of the game, might get his first ring. Or Giannis, who's going to go down as one of the best players we've ever seen, two-time MVP already, defensive player of the year, might get his first ring, right? So I'm cool with that. Like, either one of those, I'm cool with.
When you're watching and it's coming down to the last couple of minutes, though, who are you rooting for? Who do you want to win?
Good basketball.
Okay. Thank you for the non-answer. Tony, I mean, I assume you're rooting for Milwaukee.
I literally gave you an answer.
You hate Chris Paul so much?
I don't know if I'm rooting for anybody. I just want to see good basketball. That's all I care about.
But no, give him attitude too.
No blowout.
It was a terrible answer by him too. And you just heard me tell Russ that was a bad answer, and you thought I'll repeat this and make it sound better.
I mean,
it's not a bad answer. What makes it a bad answer? We did literally answering your question.
I don't have a connecting point to any of these players. I want to be entertained. Whatever that is, I want to be entertained.
I like basketball. I want to see quality basketball. Whoever comes out on top,
I think you will be entertained, especially if Giannis is available. We're recording this before game one, not knowing if he ends up playing that game. But he was, at the time we were discussing this, he was questionable. So you think that he'll be back at some point in the series. I think if I had a pick, I'm for Milwaukee. I think when it comes down to it, I want to see them win. I want to see... They've been building this for a while with the same core of players. Middleton feels like he's been there forever. Giannis too. And there's just no more moves to make for them. I mean, they've built this out as much as they can. And if it doesn't happen now, it's hard to picture it ever happening.
Does Bud get fired even if they win? Like, I feel like they've been trying to get Bud out of Milwaukee for years now. And like, you can't fire the dude once he gets you to the finals, right? But if they lose...
They do all kinds of crazy things in the NBA. I mean, they make snap decision. I don't know. It's really going to probably depend on what Giannis wants. Yeah. If he likes him, then he'll stay. And if he doesn't, then they'll have to go get somebody else.
Now it's time for a Chicago Bears segment we call.
This is fine. I'm okay with the events that are unfolding currently.
Everything's fine.
That's okay. Things are going to be okay.
Russ, seems like a good time to check in with the Bears. They got training camp coming up, and everything's fine. Everything's fine. But are you familiar with the defensive lineman, Eddie Goldman?
I am.
Do you know who I'm talking about? Pro Bowl, gigantic, run-stopping, huge part of what they do.
Correct.
27 years old, prime of his career. Very important.
Missed last season, correct?
He opted out last season and then nowhere to be seen since, and no one seems to know if he's going to show up for the start of training camp. Other than that, everything's fine.
Wait, what? So nobody's actually seen Eddie Goldman since 2019.
That is correct.
That seems dangerous, and I think the organization that he plays for should know his whereabouts.
I'd look into that, too, if I were them. Do you want to hear about the things that we did not get to on today's show that are worth talking about?
Yes, sir.
All right. The Olympics are coming up in a couple of weeks, and all kinds of obscure Olympic sports will be put into the spotlight for pretty much the only time in 4 years. You don't hear about these things like archery, badminton, rowing, judo, artistic swimming. I know you're a big artistic swimmer, Russ. Fencing, surfing, handball, water polo, skateboarding.
Russ is a big hammer thrower.
All right. Thank you for stomping on the joke I was going to make. I'll do it anyway. Russ, other than your known affinity for hammer throwing, any obscure Olympic sports get your attention? Are there any of these that you'll sit there and watch for an hour?
Skeet shooting is – I don't know what it is about it, but the fact that that's a – Tony, don't look at me like that. Oh, my God. I think that's a really that's an interesting one. Like pull and people like just shooting stuff in the air. I stick to the main ones though. Like love watching swimming, love track and field. Then when basketball comes on, I'll watch that. But like, yeah, that's probably.
I mean, I don't know. What's the thing that they do, the sweeping thing?
Oh, nobody can see you. That's probably curling. Yeah, that's the Winter Olympics. That'll have nothing to do with this.
Your screen, Tony, because we could see your whole hand.
Nobody can see any part of you because, again, Tony, this is a podcast.
Audio platform, Tony.
Russ, Phil Mickelson, the golfer.
Tony, that was that you were attempting right there.
Phil Mickelson has become very prominent again. I mean, he's always had he's always been famous, but ever since winning the U.S. Open, he's been much more famous.
Right.
But not as famous as God, I would say. And Phil Mickelson seems to think that maybe he has that kind of role over the people of Detroit, saying that he will only return for the Rocket Mortgage tournament there if 50,000 people beg him to and vow to do a good deed. It's kind of reminds me of like in the Old Testament when Abraham's praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, can he find even one good person there? Then maybe Phil Mickelson will come back to Detroit, because he's upset about a newspaper article that talked about some of his, you know, gambling activity 20 years ago.
That's all right.
That petition was only at about 15,000 signees last time I saw. You have to sign begging Phil Mickelson to come back and vow to do a good deed.
Nah, shout out to Detroit. Yeah, Phil Mickelson, bro.
It's a lot of work just to get Phil Mickelson, but I appreciate him trying to save the good city of Detroit in his free time.
They don't need to Phil Mickelson to save them. They're fine.
Right. That was the point. Shohei Ohtani from the Angels, Russ.
He was built in a lab somewhere. It is
two-way all-star. Amazing. Educate us about him, man. Teach us about Shohei Ohtani. He's the first all-star as a pitcher and hitter.
Yeah, he's and the first half isn't even over, and he's about to break the record for home runs by a Japanese-born player. Like, he can throw 100 miles an hour. He leads the league in home runs. Like, what he's doing is the stuff of legend. And it's one of those situations where, there's going to be a crazy race for ALB because Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is doing some amazing things, but it's kind of Shohei Ohtani right now. Like, what he's been able to do, especially offensively, is insane.
I have a question for you about him that I was wondering, and maybe you can answer for me. Is he going to always be able to do this, or at some point are they going to be like, look, man, you're better as a hitter. We need you as a hitter, or you're better as a pitcher. We need you just to be one or the other.
For me, I think I was always one of those people like, dude, let this guy get 500 at bats, because look what he could do if you do that. And he's showing, because he's playing every day, like what you can do if you give him those at bats. But he's been able to stay healthy. You know, he had Tommy John already. He's been fine in the rotation, and he might be the Angels' best starting pitcher too. So, I mean, I think you just do it until his body says otherwise. But until that point, you let him do it. Like, that's why you brought him over here. Like, you didn't bring him over here to put rules on him. Like, hey, this is who I am. I'm this unicorn. Let me be a unicorn. Like, don't hinder me now because you have me over here. You don't want me to get hurt. Like, I was doing this in Japan and killing it. And so, like, I think he got the perfect manager, perfect situation in LA with the Angels, where Joe is that type of guy. Like, here, we're not going to put rules on you. Do your thing. And I think he's benefited because of that.
The thing I thought of is a lot of times when a guy is a catcher and he's a good hitter, they're eventually like, we got to get you out of catching. You can come be a DH or a first baseman or something. And so I wondered if that might at some point be the case for him. But you think they'll keep going like this?
I think until there's real evidence that he can't do, until he can't pitch, because he'll be always be able to hit. Like, what he's doing right now is amazing. But like, if he just shows you that, look, he can't pitch anymore, fine. But I think right now you just ride this out because he's showing you that he can do it.
And finally, one more important piece of news that we did not get to on today's show, regrettably. A 65-year-old man in Austria was bit in the undercarriage by a 5-foot python while sitting on the toilet, the Associated Press reports. I want to add that part so people don't think I'm just making this up. This was an AP story Tuesday. About 6 a.m., Russ, He's doing what many people do first thing in the morning and sitting on the toilet, felt what he told authorities was, quote, a nip in the genital area. And it was found to have come from a python that escaped from his neighbor's apartment.
He didn't look?
He didn't. Maybe it wasn't there when he sat down. I don't know. I'm not very alert first thing in the morning.
He deserved it.
You check your toilet for snakes every morning?
I literally look in the toilet.
Well, then
it's what you're
good. This will never happen to you then.
Look,
his neighbor, by the way, this isn't an apartment building. His neighbor has 11 snakes and a gecko. So it's a lot to keep track of and probably easy to forget to lock one of those cages. Next thing you know, you're 5 foot pythons in your neighbor's toilet.
Gonna do it for sports Jason this week. We had a lot of things come up today that this show
is that the best thing you can say about the show today is that a lot of things came up.
I mean, it was very funny, and I don't know what makes it onto the final edit of this, but it was really funny today. I appreciate all you guys for listening. As always, ivychurch.com, our collection is up. If you had an issue the last couple of days, shirt should be back up. Promo code Jason10, get 10% off free shipping. For Jason Leisure, Tony Gill, I'm Russ Dorsey. We'll catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You were Jason to the mother.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.